Hello and welcome to today's podcast. You're listening to Illegal Immigration with our United Resource PAC. On today's podcast, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to examine the idea of getting rid of ICE and the implications that come along with doing so. It really makes me question why people aren't seeking to abolish similarly functioning agencies. We're also going to look at the responsibility that parents share in their reunification and the overall morality of migrating illegally to another country. All of that said, I want you to sit back, get ready for a great, great show. I promise you it's going to be very, very great. Sit back and let's go ahead and get the show started. All right. Once again, welcome to our show, Illegal Immigration, with our United Resource PAC. I'm your host, Brittany McDowell. I'm also the president, as well as CEO, and I founded our United Resource Political Action Committee. We're not authorized by a candidate or candidates committee. We're registered with and regulated by the Federal Election Commission and Secretary of State's various states. We are registered with the IRS and recognized as a tax-exempt political organization. Ultimately, guys, we're committed to committing the resources of the people we represent, and we commit those resources to issues, policies, politicians that are just, quite frankly, in the best interest of the individuals, families, communities we work with, and ultimately our country at large. So before we go ahead and dive in, I want to tell you guys a little bit about an upcoming event we have. It's called There Is No Such Thing as an Undocumented Immigrant. Quite frankly, guys, if you look at this illegal immigration discussion, you'll find that language is often used against us, specifically the people who don't want to have a continuous flood of illegal immigrants into this country. We're basically going to have a conference call to examine the importance of language in regards to illegal immigration. I'm telling you, it's not going to be boring. We're not going to be critiquing what you say to umpteenth power. We're really just going to equip you with knowledge that will allow you to see when language is being used against you and to be able to confront said instances. We're going to be having this conference call on Thursday, August the 16th. We're going to have it at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you're interested in attending, it's very easy. All you'll have to do is dial a number on your phone. If you want to attend, you do have to sign up. The conference call is absolutely free. You can do so by visiting our website, our-pack.com. And if you look in the events section of our website, you will find the conference call there. You'll just have to do a quick sign up and you'll get the phone number and all that good stuff, the access code. Again, that is Thursday, August the 16th at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Unfortunately, if you cannot, I repeat, if you cannot make this conference call, dude, you're out of luck. We're not going to be publishing it online. So if you can make it and you're interested, I really encourage you to try and get in the loop. try to do what you can to get on the call because it's going to be really awesome. I don't anticipate it taking any more than an hour, but we're planning for around 30 to 45 minutes. It just depends on what the questions look like after the fact. So now I know I mentioned that we're going to be talking about abolishing ICE, but you know, I do want to bring something else up because, you know, when you look at everything that's going on specifically with the reunification of families, these families that had their children taken away, I personally have a question about shared responsibility. You know, we talk about personal responsibility, personal accountability. We drill it into the heads of Americans when people, you know, need to get welfare. We sit and we, you know, hey, well, what decisions did you make to get in this position? In so many different aspects, we talk about shared responsibility. But I find it quite odd, ladies and gentlemen, that when it comes to illegal immigration, shared responsibility seems to have gone right out the window. You know, a federal judge on this past Friday said that the Trump administration was solely responsible for reuniting hundreds of children who at this point still remain separated from their parents after they were split up when they crossed the United States-Mexico border. You know, I pose the question, you know, again, what responsibilities do the parents have in the separation of their children? I'm not saying that the United States has no responsibility to get them back together. But if we're really and honestly going to have a conversation about responsibility, I sincerely ask, what responsibility do these parents have? You know, another question. Well, before I get to the question, let's look at this hypothetical situation. Let's assume that a U.S. citizen is in a terrible, terrible situation. Let's call this American Hakeem. And Hakeem, he's a black man who has dealt with systematic racism for the longest time, as long as he can remember. And Hakeem is a single father. He's raising not just one child, but multiple children. And one of his children, they're still in diapers. They need, he's obviously a man. And I mean, that's almost another subject for another day when you say man, but he's a biological male who does not have the ability to breastfeed his children. So he also needs formula. And so he's really, really in a bind. Hakeem is having a really hard time here. And due to this perceived systematic racism, Hakeem has not been able to find a job. You know, I'm not diminishing the plight of anybody. You know, I do agree that there is a certain level of racism. But yet again, personal responsibility, another subject for another day. But let's just go along with this hypothetical. I don't know. He's exhausted all his resources and he's just flat out come to the terms that he has to go steal diapers and baby food to feed his one child. His other children are fine because he has the welfare we're giving him or his job provides enough, but he does not have enough to get these diapers and he does not have enough to get this baby food. And, you know, I'm going to take it even further. Hakeem is in such dire straits that he can't even get a babysitter while he goes to commit a crime to make the lives of him and his children easier. So Hakeem heads to Walmart and he goes to steal some diapers and some baby food. Y'all, Hakeem gets arrested. Obviously, his children can't go to jail with him. So, I mean, what else are they supposed to do? They place these kids in a safe environment until they can be placed in foster care, and then they can ultimately work their way back to their father. Do we blame the cops for Hakeem's children not being in his possession? Should we blame Walmart for calling the police? Should we blame the politicians for making laws that sent Hakeem to jail? Should we blame Walmart for not giving the diapers and baby food away for free? I know, why don't we blame the judge for sentencing Hakeem? At what point is it Hakeem's fault that his children are not in his custody in this specific example? Why should this reasoning be any different for any other person who breaks any different law? You broke the law. You decided to not just come to another country because you were in dire straits. Hakeem in this situation. Hakeem could have said, you know what, let me go to a food pantry. Let me contact a nonprofit organization who could probably help. No, he didn't want to go that route. He made the decision to go to Walmart to steal the diapers and to steal the baby food. It may be really, really tough in Mexico. I get it. The cartels are there. But you know what? We don't have anything against people who come here and use the ports of entry as they're supposed to. We don't have anything against people who come here seeking asylum. Now, does that mean we're automatically going to grant it to you? No, there has to be some validity to your claim. If we can find that validity and it's supported and you have the correct documentation, there's nothing to hide. Come on here. We're here to help. But if you can't provide the documentation, if you can't prove your claim to be valid, you may be denied. You've got to take that chance. Just how Hakeem would have had to take a chance to say, you know, hey, let me call these people, let me call these agencies, and maybe I can get the help that I need. You know, here's the thing, people. I'm not placing all the blame on the parent, okay? I'm not saying that situations are not really bad. I get it. They're bad. But here's the thing that I want you to do, you guys. When the other side, those who were saying that, you know, we need to have these open borders and sing kumbaya and it's okay for a certain group of people to break the law, but other people can't break the law. When you have the other side making those claims, all I want you to do from this point forward is to ask yourself, are they unwilling to recognize any responsibility that the parent has in the matter of their separation? Think about it. When you read these articles, when you talk to these people, when you watch these YouTube videos, when do you ever hear them say, or have you ever heard them say, you know what? Yes, the parents shouldn't have come here this way. It's always, oh, you don't like immigrants. You're against, no person is illegal. And that specific phrase right there is a reference to the conference, because that is a load of crap. Again, it's language being used against you. But anyways, when do you ever hear them saying, you know what, you're right, the parent, they made the decision and they're ultimately responsible for what happens to their child? The United States is responsible for getting the correct parent back to the correct child. Now, mind you, when's the last time you saw on we'll say the everyday regular news, when's the last time you've seen anything about DNA tests happening and it being confirmed that some of these children don't belong to these quote-unquote parents? They're not even blood related in the slightest. You don't hear those, do you? Those stories go unheard. They don't support the narrative that they're trying to get out there. But anyways, going back to what I was saying, when the other side is, when they're completely unwilling to recognize any shred of responsibility that the parent has in this matter of separation, I want you to just really question their motives. Like, you know, what are they getting out of this? What do they get? What do they derive from the denial that the denial of responsibility that the parent has in this matter? I want you to think about it, because it's a really important question. Okay, and the song you just heard was called Stronger by Syndrome. You can find that song on, what is that site called? Not Spotify. SoundCloud, there you go. Had a brain fart. I'm so sorry, guys. So, anyways, you know what? Let's go ahead and let's dive into our main topic here now that I've got my rant about responsibility out the way. You know, there has been a lot of talk, especially recently, actually only recently, about abolishing ICE. Excuse me. ICE, if you don't know, is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. And, you know, with them calling to abolish ICE, essentially what they're asking for, guys, I mean, there's no way other way to put it. They're asking for open borders. On the left, you have the socialist Democratic candidate for Congress. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And she's out there spewing some outright nonsense, guys. She has literally been out there saying that that ICE agents are violent, that they've violently committed human rights abuses. And, I hear that mess and I think to myself, yeah, where's the mention of the violent disregard for American law? You have an attorney general candidate in New York saying that we need to prosecute ICE agents. I mean, again, absurdity. And yet again, you know, I'm sitting here having thoughts when I hear this mess and I'm hearing, you know, prosecute ICE agents, but I'm thinking, okay, where's your mention of prosecuting those who cross our borders in a manner that's inconsistent with United States law? Does it not cross their mind that it's a two-way street? You know, I mean, like, I don't even know what to say because, like, this stuff is absolutely absurd, guys. And let me, you know that I love hypothetical situations. Well, this is our first show. You'll find over time that I like hypothetical situations, so I won't say you know, but now you know. Let's take another hypothetical, okay? It was recently published, or given by example by Breitbart News, that if in the last 5 years we hadn't had the ICE agency, did you guys know that more than 1.6 million illegal aliens, they would have been able to stay here in the United States without us knowing who they are and what their intent is? Did you know that? I mean, you know what, people? I mean, come on. Like, seriously. Would you let someone you didn't know show up in your home, open your door without knocking on the doorbell, you know, the proper custom? And would you let them call dibs on your bedroom? Let alone eat your food and use your power without contributing to the household expenses? I mean, seriously. I'm not going to dignify that with an answer, and I don't think you should dignify that question with an answer because it's outright foolish to even think about answering that question. But the question you need to be asking yourself is if you really care about your neighborhood and your community. Do you? Do you care about it? Do you care about that neighborhood you live in, and do you care about that community you live in? Because get this, if we 5 years ago had abolished ICE, did you know that 1.4 million criminals, not just the everyday run-of-the-mill illegal immigrants, but 1.4 million criminal illegal aliens would have been let out into American neighborhoods and communities? With 1.4 million of those people, I can guarantee you at least one or two would have made their way to your neighborhood and your community. I ask the question again, do you care about your neighborhood? Do you care about your community? We wouldn't have been able to do anything about finding these convicted murderers, convicted rapists, and God forbid those habitual criminals that make their living being criminals, we would have been able to do anything about them roaming the streets. Nothing at all. Again, because language is used against us, I did not say, if you want to go ahead and rewind it, I didn't say all illegal immigrants are murderers and rapists and habitual criminals. I'm talking about the ones that are part of this 1.4 million people. These people would have been out on the streets roaming. And I can tell you something, people, I don't have children, but if I did, they sure in the hell would not be out on those streets. They would be locked up in the house, never allowed to see the streets, let alone walk on them. Real talk. Absolute real talk. Let's go ahead and look at another hypothetical. You heard me just say, and I meant it. I love to use hypothetical situation. Let's pretend here that you, now I know this wouldn't be the case, so don't be mad at me. Let's pretend that you, my friend, that you're an illegal alien. And you were lucky enough to get by the Border Patrol and you snuck your way into the United States. If we abolish ICE, there would be no one looking for you. You made it over the border, under the border, however you got here, you made it through Border Patrol, you got into the United States, you snuck your way here, you'd be home free. Now look, quite frankly, that's a great deal for you. If you're the illegal immigrant in the situation, man, that's like, you know, 75% off with an additional 20. Great freaking deal. But you know what? That's not a great deal for America. It's not a great deal for the citizens of America. And it's not a great deal for the people who didn't choose to circumvent Border Patrol, or sneak into the United States. Those three categories lose. There's only one winner, and that one winner is the illegal immigrant. Now look, you know, like, I really can't even, you have some of these people on the other side, the people that want to abolish ICE. Some of these people literally have gone so far as to say that all foreign nationals, all border crossers, and all illegal aliens are entitled to enter the U.S. We sit here and we want to debate entitlements for the elderly in this country. We want to debate into not just any old elderly, but the elderly United States citizens. We want to sit and have a damn near fight over the entitlement of education to American students in this country. We want to get over and have fights about the entitlement of assistance from the state for certain American citizens. But you want to tell me that people who are from another country, whose responsibility they are to another country, they are entitled to enter this country? And not only are they entitled to do so, they're entitled to do it when and how they see fit with no regulation? In what freaking universe? Am I entitled to go, these politicians who are making these claims, am I entitled to go into their homes? This Cortez woman, I'm entitled to just go in her house when I feel like it. Matter of fact, I'm entitled to drive her car. Hell, you know what? Here's the thing. Most of these politicians, their own constituents, they're not even entitled to a meeting with these politicians. But you want to sit up here and you want to tell me and get me to believe that these people who belong to other countries are entitled to my country? Man, I'm so tempted to cuss on this. You know, I'm a lady, so I will refrain from doing so. But in my mind, I'm all over the place. But you know what, guys? The good thing that we have going for us rational people here is that specifically as it relates to voting, you know, the people that matter, okay, are the people in the middle, the swing voters. Especially in such a polarized environment and in the political polarization of today, there isn't a big group of those people But most of that group of people, they're overwhelmingly opposed to the thought of the madness. They don't want this abolishing ICE-ness. They don't want, you know, open borders. They don't want a free-for-all. The question is, when you join those people with the hardcore, I knew from day one I didn't want this crap. When you join those people, do we have enough people? I sincerely, when I look at the data, I sincerely feel confident in answering yes. I really, really do. And it's something that we can all take comfort in. Now, we don't want to get too comfortable, because we don't want to get comfortable or complacent to the point where we decide to not take political action or be politically involved. It's still really important, okay? But just know that not everyone is crazy, okay? Let's go ahead and let's explore another hypothetical. Yet again, like I said, I love to do it. Matter of fact, we're going to explore a few, okay? I'm actually going to make a few proposals of my own, okay? We're going to make some change. If all these other people on the other side can call to abolish ICE because ICE is so bad, you know, I believe I have seen the error of my ways. You know, maybe I just haven't been seeing this right, and I think as a result, I'm gonna do my part as an American to make sure that we get rid of all of the bad actors. ICE is a bad actor, but we have a few more that I want to point out with you guys, and I want to make a few proposals. So, if we're going to abolish ICE, I propose that we get rid of the Office of the Special Narcotics Prosecutor for the City of New York. I also propose, guys, that we get rid of the New York City Police Department. Now, let me tell you why. I know you heard that and you're probably laughing, but let me tell you why. Both of these organizations, listen to this, guys. They worked with ICE. I know, they worked with that horrible, despicable organization. These two organizations, they worked with ICE and they arrested 32 people this past Friday. They arrested them on narcotics and gambling charges. They had some big investigation and they got them all up. I mean, the thought of these two organizations sitting here working with ICE. Let me tell you about this investigation that they have going on. So these two organizations teamed up with ICE and they did an investigation and they uncovered a large scale alleged cocaine and heroin distribution network that was centered in the East Village. Again, this is in New York, and they found a related gambling operation that was located in a busy commercial district on the West Village. Okay, here's an actual quote from ICE about the investigation, and I quote: "Those arrested today are not just alleged. Oh, excuse me. See, I said alleged. They're not just alleged to have been involved in selling highly addictive drugs on city streets, but they are also connected with the sophisticated underground gambling operation right here in Manhattan." Now, those of you in Manhattan should be freaked out. I don't know if you should be freaked out about this all this drug stuff. I think it's all a front, because I'm telling you, ICE probably planted these drugs on these people. Again, this is coming from Angel M. Melendez, who happens to be a special agent in charge of HSI in New York. Again, let's just take them at their word for it, but I'm not quite sure, because in my mind, ICE probably, they probably planted the drugs. Them and the Office of Special Narcotics Prosecutor for the City of New York and the New York City Police Department. But let me finish and tell you what else was said. So it was also said that law enforcement always seeks to build on their investigations, aka plant the drugs, consistently seeking to connect the dots. As we continue to work jointly in these operations, HSI and NYPD are able to combine intel and resources, aka the fake drugs, to take down criminal networks like this one. So guys, we clearly got to get rid of the Office of the Special Narcotics Prosecutor for the City of New York and the New York Police Department. We absolutely can't tolerate them working with the unscrupulous organization ICE. So now here's the thing. I'm not going to stop right there. I got some more for you. We also need to get rid of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Let's add to that list the Federal Bureau of Investigation's International Human Rights Unit. And we're also going to throw the Departments of Justice, State, and Defense overboard too and abolish those. Let me give you a little bit of background so you can understand why these people need to go too with ICE. We're kicking them right out the door. So back in 2003, you guys, ICE established investigative and legal teams to focus more closely on cases involving human rights violations. And about 5 years after doing that, the Human Rights Violators and War Crimes Center was created to further this kind of whole of government approach to identify, investigate, prosecute, and remove war criminals and human rights abusers that were living in the United States. So for the past 15 years, though, the center and its quote-unquote partners have worked collaboratively to support ICE's Homeland Security investigation, all of those efforts to bring numerous individuals to justice for human rights violations such as genocide, torture, ethnic cleansing, and various other forms of prosecution. Now, again, based on what we know about ICE, ICE was probably doing all this stuff, blaming it on these innocent people and, trying to get these illegals, no person is illegal, trying to get these illegal people to take responsibility for what they were doing in the dark with these other organizations. So based on all of that, guys, I think we need to get rid of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. We need to get rid of the Federal Bureau of Investigations International Human Rights Unit. And we need to throw the Departments of Justice, to State, and Defense overboard because, there's no other way to put it, but by not checking and ultimately abolishing these organizations and departments, we're setting a dangerous precedent. And the precedent is that people might think that it's appropriate and acceptable to work with a violently abusive organization like ICE. I've got more. I also propose that we get rid of the Southwest Missouri Cybercrimes Task Force. You had two men, one from Missouri and one from West Virginia. On this past Friday, they were sentenced in federal court for sexually abusing a child. Now, the sentence resulted from an investigation by ICE and the Southwest Missouri Cybercrimes Task Force. Have you not listened to me so far? You've heard about all these horrible things ICE has been doing with other organizations. It's very clear what ICE did in this situation. ICE ruins people's lives, and now ICE has dragged the Southwest Missouri Cybercrimes Task Force into their nonsense and ruined the lives of these poor two men who only wanted to meet their own needs, no matter if it came at the expense of others. Southwest Missouri Cybercrimes Task Force has to go, y'all. And last but not least, I'm going to give you a little bit of background before I tell you the list of people that need to be abolished with ICE with this example. So you had a 62-year-old Mexican woman who was in the custody of ICE, and she died at the Alvarado Hospital in La Mesa, California. At the time of her death, the hospital staff identified the preliminary cause of death as complications from surgery. She had been transferred to the hospital earlier in the day for a scheduled surgery to treat a heart abnormality. Now, as we all know, ICE is an unscrupulous organization. While she slept before, her heart was probably perfectly fine. ICE probably broke in her cell at night, took her, did something to her heart, and then messed it up as a plot to try and kill her. But we'll talk about that in just a second, because, you know, again, ICE is this horrible, horrible organization. So, anywho, before she died, she applied for admission into the United States at the San Ysidro Port of Entry, but she didn't have proper entry documentation. And this was back on May 21st of this year. So she was processed as an expedited removal case and transferred to ICE custody at the Otay Mesa Detention Center on June 3rd. And she was supposed to be there pending the outcome of her immigration proceedings. Ultimately, she was ordered to be removed by an immigration judge back on July 23rd, and she was pending removal back to Mexico at the time of her death. She was previously processed, as an expedited removal in 2013, but she came back to the United States again. I would say something here, but like I said, ICE is the problem. I'm not going to even talk about what's on my mind. But anyways, where am I going with this, guys? Have you not listened to me to this point? When she died, the appropriate state health and local law enforcement agencies were notified. We need to find out who they are, and we need to abolish them. They work with the murderous ICE. End of story. The Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General, they were notified of her death. Again, they're another ICE friend. We've got to abolish them too. Then you have ICE's Office of Professional Responsibility. They were also notified. And you have ICE's Health Service Corps. They were charged with her care. Obviously, they failed. I mean, I'm mentioning them, but at the same time, we're going to go ahead and abolish ICE. All these agencies are going to be added to the abolish ICE list. So they're already on the chopping block. I'm just bringing them up as a matter of common knowledge. I'm going to throw another one in there. The Consulate of Mexico in San Diego. They were also notified. Now, I'm not exactly proposing anything. So let me not say I'm proposing something, but I'm just putting it out there. Maybe they should be abolished too. I mean, picking up the phone for ICE? Unconscionable. Ladies and gentlemen, how absurd did all of that sound? Just because these agencies did their job, I want to abolish them? To abolish ICE would be equally as absurd, if not more. This is exactly why you should sign up for a webinar we're having. I know I mentioned a conference earlier, a conference call that we're having, but on Thursday, August 23rd at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we're going to be discussing everything you need to know about illegal immigration. I'm not going to get too long into the specifics here, but if you want more information, because again, everything you want to know about illegal immigration is very, very general, visit our website at ourpack.com. There is limited online seating, so sign up. Again, it's free. Do it as soon as possible. It's absolutely free. You just have to register and you'll get access to your email inbox. You don't want to miss it. It's not going to be published online. So if you miss it, unfortunately, you just end up missing it. And I don't want you to miss it, guys, because it's going to be great. So I have a question for you. We've talked about shared responsibility. We've talked about wanting to abolish an agency that has responsibility in the matter. But when I think about responsibility, there's one word that comes to mind. And that word is morality. Is there morality around the illegal immigration matter? Is immigrating into a country in a manner inconsistent with its laws and policies immoral? I don't know. Quite frankly, I don't know. But let's go ahead and let's take a look at the morality of illegal immigration. You know, when you have people who willfully break the immigration laws of the United States, they're also going to break other laws because they're just lawbreakers. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They didn't think much to break one law or to at least do something inconsistent, in a consistent manner, or inconsistent expectation with a country. They didn't think about, is this good or bad? So it's very unlikely in other circumstances and situations they're gonna think about, I need identification. So maybe it would be a bad thing if I forged these documents. Maybe it would be a bad thing if I lied about this being my child. Maybe it would be a bad thing. It's gonna happen. Here's the thing: these people, they're not victims. Their actions cause victims. And I wonder, why is it so hard? The people that you have on the other side who frame the illegal immigrants as victims, why is it so hard for them to understand this? If you sit and you ask this question to some people, they act as if our desire to have people legally enter our country is the same as a desire to see no one migrate to this country. Again, this is a reference to the conference, how people use words against you. But anyways, if they're honest with themselves, they'll see that people from all regions of the world are welcome here, and they're welcome to legally immigrate to the United States. We have processes. No, they're not perfect, but we have processes that if you follow them and if you are deemed to be worthy and appropriate, come on in. The doors are open. There are millions of people who have gone through that process legally who can attest to the validity of the process and the fact that it is indeed a real thing that you can do. We need to start asking what the problem is specifically with people migrating legally. When they say that the system is broken, I want you to ask, well, what specifically is broken? When they say that it takes too long, I want you to ask, well, why do you feel entitled to control the process? Or you can ask, what expertise do you possess in immigration policy that makes you a reputable and reliable person to evaluate our immigration process? When someone illegally crosses the border with the intention of illegally staying in the United States or deliberately overstays a visa for that same purpose, they are committing only the first in an inevitable series of illegal acts. Consider this. Here's what I want you to do. Consider this, guys. When you're talking about abolishing ICE, well, I know we're not talking about it, but when the other side is talking about abolishing ICE, as we talked about earlier, I want you to consider that ICE goes after the people when they are reported by other agencies for breaking other laws. But ask yourself, why can't we go after them for breaking, for disregarding the law when they entered this country illegally? Why do they want us to wait for them to break other laws? We may not know that they break other laws. Don't we have that right? Think about this quote from the Democratic Senator Charles Schumer of New York. He says, and I quote, "I just don't see how, when you've lived here 10 years and you've had many different identities, many different numbers, you're going to remember them all." Let that sink in, guys. Yet we don't want to prosecute these people? On what planet does this make sense? Here's the deal. Each country, I almost feel like we're on another planet the way this is going. each country has the right to control its borders, okay? Each country gets to control who comes in, who goes out, and those countries get to determine the amount of risk that they expose their country to. They get to determine the risk from terrorism and other stuff, okay? The United States does have a right to stop people from illegally entering or illegally overstaying a visa, regardless of what the other side wants to say, however they want to put it to you. At the end of the day, what these people are doing by illegally migrating to this country, by coming into this country by means that are inconsistent with U.S. laws and policy and procedure, it's wrong and it is immoral. So I've done a lot of ranting for today, guys, and I want you to help us with the wrongs that are being done to the American people. These wrongs are being done by people who clearly have different values and morals than us American citizens. As an organization, our United Resource Pack, we take responsibility for our country, and that includes making sure people who are here illegally take responsibility for their actions. And we do that, or we attempt to do that, by advocating, okay? We're an organization, a political action committee, and we advocate for the election of political candidates who seek to make illegally entering this country a criminal offense, specifically a felony. Earlier in the podcast, I jokingly referenced getting rid of other government agencies and departments, specifically those that work with ICE. I was only joking. I want to make that very, very clear. That was just a joke to show you how stupid it sounds when agencies and departments do their jobs. We just want to stop them. Okay. That was all a joke. But the wrath of those from the other side, the wrath of those seeking to abolish ICE, while I was joking, that wrath is real. Okay. And it's not a laughing matter. Because of all of that, guys, we need your help. And the only way we can confront the irrational actors seeking to abolish the agency whose sole purpose is to find and deport illegal aliens is to work to elect politicians who support ICE and defeat and remove those that are looking to dismantle and abolish ICE. If you can, please stand with us today in support of ICE and the work that it does. It's very important work, and no one else will do it like them, and they deserve all the praise in the world. I'm not going to get out there and be on the front lines. I doubt you're out there on the front line, no disrespect to you, but somebody's got to do it, and those men and women are out there doing their job, and we should not be looking to take away their jobs because people want to be in this country illegally. So if you can, what I'm asking, how you can stand with us today, is to make a one-time financial contribution to our cause so we can run political ads for and against political candidates. Making a contribution is completely easy. For example, if you have the Cash App, which is a very popular app, you can find us on the app by searching for the $ Our United Resource Pack. Remember the dollar sign, because if you just type in Our United Resource Pack, it won't come up. Again, that's $ Our United Resource Pack. If you make a contribution via the Cash App, please add your email address in the memo. If you don't have the Cash App, you can still make a contribution using our web link, which is cash.me/$ Our United Resource Pack. You can also visit that link to make a contribution. Go to the make contribution link on our website, and you select quick contributions / Cash App, and you can make it right there. It'll be sent to us by Cash App, but you don't have to have the Cash App, okay? But just remember, please put your email in the memo section so we can give you your receipts and be in contact with you if we need to about the contribution. If you'd like instead to be emailed an invoice to make a contribution by credit, debit, or check, you can also visit the Make a Contribution link on our website and select contribute by credit/debit/check. We'll send you an invoice if you select credit or debit. And if you want to make a contribution by check, you'll receive our information and mailing address when going through that process. We'd like to meet our goal for this week for new advertising. We need $100 to start circulating a round of online ads specifically for illegal immigration. If we could get 4 people to contribute $25 each, that would be awesome. It would be equally as awesome if we could get 5 people to contribute $20, or 10 people to contribute $10, or 20 people to contribute $5, or 100 people to contribute $1, or one person to contribute $100. Anything you can contribute is completely, completely appreciated. It's been a very long first podcast, guys, but thank you for listening. I want you to stay tuned because we do have future shows. We have, remember, our next show is Wednesday. This was our first show. I really hope you enjoyed it. You can look forward to more shows like this every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. They will be published right for you. And it will only be about illegal immigration. I really hope you enjoyed it. Please look forward to more podcasts. If you enjoy, subscribe and listen, because I promise I will keep them coming. And again, thank you so much for listening. You were listening to Illegal Immigration with our United Resource Pack.